Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning, Lord, to be with your people. Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, to come down in the midst of the service this morning and speak to our hearts. Lord, in a people that's, Lord, feeble in ourselves, but Lord, we have great strength in you, Lord, because of what you've done in our lives. And Lord, what you have done, we present back to you this morning in worship. Lord, to thank you for setting us in the position that you've given us, Lord, of your kingdom as sons and daughters of Almighty God. We ask, God, that you would give us the liberty this morning, Lord, to speak what you put on our hearts. Lord, to enter into the Word this morning, enter into fellowship with you on the basis of your Word. God, that each person, each heart will be blessed, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, we'll be able to sit in heavenly places. Let's commit this time into your hands. Lord, I ask that you would have your way, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Musicians can be seated. God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you again this time. Just good to be back. Kind of service time rolled around last weekend, and I realized just how much I wanted to be here when I wasn't here, but my wife and I, we actually were trying to make it home. There were some changes in our vacation plan a little bit, so we were able to come home a little early, and we were actually pushing pretty hard, hoping to be in service with you, but what it would have required, it would have required us to get home about 3:30 to 4:30 in the morning. And so I just made the decision, because of safety on the road, that I'd be better just to stop somewhere and get a room. But anyway, I just wanted you to know that we're missing you, and we're thinking about you, and we're glad to be back with you again. And we just thank the Lord for providing a little time away for us. It's been a good vacation, good time of refreshing. And I think everyone needs that from time to time. And so we're happy for that. I look back now and I realize the Lord had that set aside for my family and I, even though some of the things we were planning on doing didn't turn out, but it actually turned out exactly the way I had told my wife a few weeks ago that I felt like it'd be okay with me if it went a certain way, and it went exactly that way. And so I could give you a lot more detail to it, but I won't do that at the moment. Maybe in fellowship we might, but anyway, it's good to be back with you. Just want to remember the Butler family. You know, Brother Graham said that we go through night cycles, right? Each family will go through night cycles, and they haven't told me this, but they're basically going through a night cycle, and so we want to remember them in prayer. Sister Butler, Linda Butler, had to go through a surgery a couple of days ago, and it was a very serious surgery. She's been in intensive care in Tulsa, and I don't know if they're going to let her out today or tomorrow, but she came through the surgery with it really well, thanking the Lord for the prayers of the saints for that, and so she's not really, she's got a lot of issues, a lot of complications, and the doctors have said that on a basis of 1 through 10, 10 being the worst, she's a 9.9 as far as complications are concerned. But our God is able.
Amen.
Right? Our God is able. And so we want to remember them and just thank the Lord that he's still standing there beside them and helping them. And also, I just wanted to announce real quick before we get into the Word, I hate to do it at the end of service, so I'll do it now. This is really hard to do since your mind is on ministering. But in 2 weeks from today, we plan on having a business meeting here for the church. You know, we've been operating for almost a year now, and we put officers and people in place on a temporary basis back at the beginning. And so coming up pretty close to our year anniversary, just a few days over our year anniversary, we will be bringing to you the official voting and setting in place of all the officers, and including me, what we'll do there. And so it'll start out with bylaws. We have to put those in place first, and then we'll go through the deacons and the trustees and also your pastor. And so we want to do that. We have enlisted professional guidance on this so that we could make sure that everything is being done the way it should be done in accordance with the state of Arkansas law, and also merging that together with what we know the Bible and what the message tells us. And so we have been in contact with professionals on that, and so they will be taking a final view of our bylaws this week. And so I think next week we will make those available to you. We're trying to figure out exactly how we want to do it, because without even the doctrinal portions, it's about 17 pages long. With the doctrinal things in there, I don't know how many pages it comes up to be. It's quite a few. But I don't think there's much question on the doctrinal stuff, because we know what we believe, and you can easily see that that's what we have in there. But so we were wondering how we would make it available. If you put a copy, we talked about putting a copy on the bulletin board for you, but it'd be hard for very many people to stand and look at that. We talked about maybe putting it on the web for a couple of weeks. We might could do that. We also could, if those of you who are interested in doing this, if you would like to meet back here at church next Sunday afternoon for the purpose of going over those, we could do that too. But, you know, that would be if you want to. But the purpose is so that you can see what the bylaws are going to stay, because that's going to be that's what we're going to fall back on as a way to describe how we do things. It has to be that way because of the state law required. But anyway, we want to do that. And, you know, last year we gave time for people to be in office, to see if they want to continue on, to give it a chance. And so we've had some changes in that, and the people that would be our trustees now. And so as it stands right now, it'd be Brother Tim, Brother Daniel, Brother Matthew. And then, of course, if the pastor of the church also has a voice in the trustee, as a trustee also. But again, we have met with professionals who are guiding us in this to make sure that everything they do is in accordance with the state laws. And so we want to reassure you of that. And I think you know why I'm saying that. But it's hard to do what spiritual things need to be done and also have to give Caesar what Caesar wants. But you have to do that. So would anybody be interested in meeting after service, maybe after lunch next Sunday afternoon, for the purpose of going over those? If you would like to, just come to me, or to Brother Daniel, or Brother Tim after service, and let us know. But otherwise, if we don't do that, we'll just put a copy on the bulletin board and maybe make it available on the web so that those of you that have computers can download it, look at it that way if you want. But it's been a long time coming, and it's been a big burden on Brother Daniel's heart, my heart, you know, and all the officers of getting to this point so that we can put that in place, and then we can start doing what we feel led to do, and that is to minister to God's people and do what we're called to do. So thank you for standing this long and listening to what I have to say on that, but just let us know how you'd like to do the bylaw situation. If you have any questions, also Brother Daniel, Brother Tim, myself, we can even Brother Matthew, if you want to, you can talk to him. We want to move forward in this as much as we can. I'd like to read in the scriptures now, and we'll go to St. John chapter 16. You know, just as you're turning there, just another comment about setting up the church in order. You know, our forefathers that set up this nation, they did an excellent job. They did such a good job in that foundation that here today, that our rights to worship God and the freedom of religion here in this nation are still with us, because they did a good job at the foundation. And Saints, that's what we need to do in placing the operation of the church, is to set a good foundation so that for generations to come, if the Lord tarries, that foundation will still be there and still be protecting the rights of the people in this congregation at that point, that they can serve and worship God the way they desire. So, St. John chapter 16, we'll begin reading at verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking here. He says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me again, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born in the world, into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now watch what happens after that time, after that happens. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Let's bow our hearts to him again. Lord Jesus, we look to your word this morning, Lord, that is so able, Lord, to place us and to help us. Lord, you've given it for the light of our pathway and left to our feet, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God this morning, in a place that's sanctified for your presence, and to be able to look into the Word of Life. Lord, knowing that it is from the Word of Life, Lord, that our walk here on earth is renewed, Lord, and our purpose is made more clear, more plain. We thank you, Lord, this morning for this opportunity, for your words to be spoken, for you to come, Lord, in the presence of your Holy Spirit and guide us. We ask that you bless every person that's here today, Lord, young and old and all in between, Lord, that their hearts would be enriched. Lord, that you would speak something that would bless them, give them that which they need for the days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. This morning I was just looking to title this Spiritual Birth Pains. Spiritual birth pains. I may love the Lord. Spiritual birth pains. You know, we'll talk a whole lot about a woman in the natural, and her being pregnant, being able to, in process of bringing forth a child. And, you know, of course, I'm not a woman, so I don't know. All right, so you sisters give me grace if I'm not exactly on the mark. Okay? But I assume that throughout the term of a woman being pregnant from beginning to end, I assume that there are a lot of discomforts, a lot of pains, a lot of things that don't feel real good. I would imagine that if a man's body was distorted as much as a woman's is when she's pregnant, that he would probably be hollering pretty loud. But anyway, so she goes through a big transformation, and we know that that's a good way to know that someone's been with Jesus Christ, is because there's going to be something visible in about your life that you can't hide. You know, a man and woman can get married, and she can be with expecting child, and he don't look any different. He don't necessarily have any kind of pains, any kind of morning sicknesses and stuff like that. He may not have anything like that, see? But she does. Because the proof of them coming together in that way is all shown in her. She's the one that shows it. And so it's very clear that she's she's been with someone, and so the church, it's very clear to see who the church has been with. So if you've been with a creed or a dogma or some sort of man's idea about something, it's going to show in your walk. But if you've been with Jesus Christ, that'll show in your walk also. And so, but anyway, a woman from start to finish, a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort in her, in that. But you know, all of that reproach that's upon her, all the things that she experiences throughout that pregnancy, all of that is in vain unless she comes to something what we call birth pains. She's already had some pains along the way, right? But all those pains that she has along the way, though she might feel like it's so terrible, it has to move into something even greater, or else all of that that she experienced is in vain. And so, because it takes that birth pain to actually bring the life that's in her, to actually bring forth what it is that's growing within her, it takes those birth pains. Brother Branham preached that sermon in birth pains, and he talked about the world and how that we had World War I and World War II, and those were birth pains because the earth is going to birth into a millennium. The earth is going to, you know, how many believe the scriptures tell us that even creation groaneth,
right?
These trees out here and the grass out here know that this dimension fell into Satan's hand because of what happened in the garden. And this earth is groaning. This earth knows who its creator is. And this earth wants to be in the joy and the presence of God. It wants to be what it's supposed to be. You've never heard anybody who's walking around and they're perfectly fine and healthy, and all of a sudden they have a pain and they go, "Praise God, now I'm where I'm supposed to be." You're not supposed to be in pain and be drawn back from. You're supposed to be in joy and life. See what I'm saying? Anybody knows that it's not right for your thumb to hurt because you hit it with a hammer.
Right.
You know, philosophy would try to tell you, "Well, prove to me that your hand is hurting. You know, prove to me that it's not right." Well, common sense tells you that it's not right. Common sense tells you that what's right is that we be happy and full of joy and no pain and no sorrow, no stealing, no adultery. That common sense tells us those things. And so the earth wants to bring forth to get out of this mess and this chaos and the sin and all the storms and things that are as a result of the fall. The earth wants that. The earth is groaning for that day, and the scripture said that deliverance of that natural earth and so forth, nature itself, comes when the sons of God come to their adoption.
That's right.
This whole dimension is going to be changed when you and I come to adoption, when that takes place, which I believe we're in process right now. And so Brother Branham comes along, takes that, and he says, the earth is groaning, and it's not just the storms and things in nature. It's the whole entire movement of all the people, the everything. God has His hands on all of it. And so when we have a World War I, that's a birth pain. It's a sign that something's fixing to happen, that deliverance of a seed or a life that's laying there that's predestined to come forth, that life's going to come forth. And so these birth pains are signs that something's about to happen. And they get stronger and they get closer together until finally it's birthed. Right? So that's what birth pains is all about. And you find out that in birth pains that they come in a cycle. Right? They come in cycles. And you find out that and you women, you sisters, forgive me. You know, I hope this is not saying something bad, but when those birth pains begin to come and they're just this one cycle after another, the women should not, and I know because it hurts, you want to run from pain. We are all that way, okay? And this is getting to the heart of what I want to talk about spiritually speaking. There's a lot of pain that we have to endure, spiritually speaking. We have loved ones who hurt, and we have burdens for them, and the sin and the loss, those things hurt. And typically, when something hurts, we run from it. We try to get away from what hurts.
Right?
And so I know that sisters, when you're getting ready to have a baby, you don't want those pains. My wife, I'm sure, would say, she'd probably say, you know, that she was ready to turn around and leave the hospital. But, you know, it don't work that way.
So I know we walked in the hospital with Rachel when she was going to have Rachel, and we walked right through the doors to go in there to go into her birthing room. And just as we walked in the door, in one of those rooms, some woman let out a moan. And my wife turned around and she said, "Let's just leave," you know. but you know, just a little comical. But the point I'm getting at is we run from pain. Right. And she wouldn't want that. But you see, saints, it takes that kind of pain. It takes a magnitude, many magnitudes greater in pain, called birth pains, before you can deliver the thing that's actually in you that's to be birthed.
Amen.
Okay, so that's what we want to talk about, spiritual birth pains. Because I believe every one of us have spiritual seed, if you want to say it that way, of something that we want to birth, something that's groaning within us, perhaps the salvation of our children or of friends, of loved ones. It's burning within us. It's like a seed down in there growing, and it's got to come forth. And we're not comfortable until we see that thing birth.
Right.
Everybody following? And so here is what we're talking about, spiritual birth pains. And so it takes those to bring a deliverance. It takes birth pains to bring forth life. It takes birth pains to bring an issuance of life, and that is a word. To bring the issue of life. So birth pains comes in wave after wave. One right after the other. One right after the other. And it's done that way for a purpose. I'm not going to tell you that I understand all that. But I know that God is the designer of these things. And He knows how all this stuff works. And He knows that it takes a wave. I don't think it would be possible, I guess. I guess it could be if God wanted to, but for one huge pain just to hit all at once and bring forth. That's not the way that God has it. It's wave after wave getting stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the way it works. Until finally it reaches a place, and I don't know how to convey this thought, but I'm going to speak about Hattie Wright in just a little bit. And she reached a moment in her life where God looked at her in her stress and her distress and her lifestyle of being poor. God looked at her at some point in her pain. And He looked at her and He blessed her and said, "I grant to you that you can bring forth the desire of your heart." Right? Blessed it. And so a woman can go through one pain after another, until finally it reaches a point where all the conditions are right that she is blessed by Almighty God to bring forth. Right?
Yeah.
Do you follow my thinking on this? And so it's a wave, one wave after another, because God has designed it to be that way for a purpose. You see, she has something in her. We call it a seed or life, whatever, a baby, a child. Whatever, but she has something that's in there that was placed there by her husband. And I know, you know, you just bear with me, but it was placed there. And that which was placed there by her husband unites with a part of her. And so that which is in there is now a part of the two of them. Everybody understand? And that part of the two of them is now growing, and it's ordained to come forth. As a matter of fact, it has to. Once that's formed in there, it has to come forth some way or another. I guess it could be stillborn or something like that. But you realize that is ordained to come forth and be birthed into this world. And so, it's a mixture of the two. And when it's birthed, I've said this many times recently, but when it's birthed, to be birthed means it takes on a life of its own. Right? Takes on a life of its own. Once something's born or birthed, you can't unbirth it. Right? You could take a newborn baby that's been birthed and you could kill it, but you're not reversing that birth. Right? So when something is birthed, it's a mark that goes down in history or or if we're talking about spiritual birth, it's a mark that goes down in God's economy that says that it's written in stone from that point on, this thing has happened, and it won't be reversed. And so she's got this seed within her that's to be birthed, and it's ordained to become a life of its own. Now that life of its own, what is it? It's the mixture of him, and it's a mixture of her. It's a mixture of the two, him and her both. And that's ordained to take a life of its own and to live and actually be able to produce and, you know, perpetuate or whatever. And so, now I want you to think about this. I'm sorry to let the cat out of the bag of what I, but your own burdens for lost souls or something that's down inside you groaning that you're burdened for, that you know that comes because of your experience in God, because God lives in you. And God comes down in you, and the power of Almighty is there, and then your own love for your own friends and your own family, and the Spirit of God unites with that love, and it produces a burden or a travail. It produces something there that you feel like you've got to see come forth. So it causes you to be burdened and to pray and to seek God on behalf of those around you. Well, what I'm trying to get you to ride with me on here is that desire down inside you is actually a spiritual birth to come. Yeah. It's actually something that God, when He looks at it, He sees that as a spiritual event or person or whatever, however you want to say it, that is to come to birth, because it's now within you, and it's something that He has joined with. It's a mixture of the two of you that He's going to bring forth. I mean, to put it this way, it's your desire and your love for your friends and family who are lost in sin, and it's His ability to bring it to pass. They get together inside your spirit, inside your the womb of your heart, if you want to say, and it begins to burn and groan. What? You're longing for the manifestation of this very thing that you desire in you, that God has anointed you to have a burden for. That's the first thing I remember when I give my heart to the Lord that I remember happening. I had a burden for lost. I remember immediately the first thing I had a burden. I'd go to the store and standing in the checkout line, and I remember just having such a desire for sinners, for the lost. What was that? That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so, think of it. Our union with Him, that mixture of Him and us in our life, is ordained of God to come forth in something in a life and to be irreversible. And so now I'm going to take a little shift here on something. A spiritual birth is a little bit different than a natural birth. In the fact that a natural birth brings forth a natural act, brings forth a natural birth or whatever. And we know how that takes place, those of you know that are old enough to know. But a spiritual birth is a little bit different. Spiritual birth comes, the germ is given by the mouth. The germ of life, spiritual birth, is given by spoken word. And then it's believed into the heart. So a spiritual birth doesn't come from some natural act or some physical this or some physical something like that. But what's tied up in all that to bring a spiritual birth is the speaking of the word. And that speaking of the word brings forth life. And so there's a difference there. And so now, as we start moving further into some of the things that I want to speak about here, then you'll see why I'm going that route. So Sister Hattie Wright, she had a burden within her heart for her children. And I may just kind of paraphrase, and I may just kind of dramatize just a little bit here so that you can kind of get the idea of what I'm thinking, but I believe Sister Hattie had wave after wave of pain and sorrow in the burden for her children. How many believe that? Because Brother Branham said that while he was standing there talking to them about the squirrels being created and all those things, Brother Branham said them two teenage boys were sitting over the side, and you know what they were doing? They were laughing and snickering and making fun of a prophet of this generation with the spoken word and the pillar of fire just a few feet from him all the time,
yeah.
Right? And they're sitting over there snickering and laughing and making fun. And so you know that just as the run of things goes, them boys probably sassed their mama. They probably didn't have any desire for the things of God. They probably made fun of it in her face, whatever, just like they were there then. And so I believe that Sister Hattie Wright, did anybody here know her personally? Did anybody? Okay. She probably had wave after wave of sorrow after sorrow, pain after pain over the needs of her children. And you see, what was in her was a seed that desired the salvation for her two boys. And so she had this. And in that great moment, as I spoke a while ago, that God had, through all that pain, she come to that point, and I know it was, you know, what we normally when we talk about Sister Hattie, we're talking about the third pull and all that sort of thing, and it is. I want you to see this too. But you see, in that moment, right at that great climax, where she was given liberty of God, I want you to see what happened here was that God said to her, whatever you want, Sister Hattie, whatever you want, you name it, you can have it. You can have it, whatever it is. Here's your crippled sister sitting here, I believe it was. Ask for her healing and see if it don't happen. That's what Brother Bram said right there in front of all the people. He said she only made about $200 a year. He said, ask for $1 million. And see if it don't fall in your lap. If it don't happen, I'm a false prophet. Right? And Brother Bam tells us later on that the reason why God had granted to her, think of it, granted to her this opportunity to speak what she would, was because he knew what was in her heart. Now I want to bring it over to what I'm trying to show you. You sisters, you're pregnant, and you're laying in the hospital room, and God comes down and says, deliver what's in you. Could she deliver anything else? There's only one seed in there. There's only one burden right there of what it was to be. And if she brings forth anything under any condition, it's going to be that life that comes forth that's in her. And so, Sister Hattie, whenever he granted to her that, she said, the greatest desire of my heart is the salvation of my two boys. Why? Because that's the seed that was in her. That was the burden she had. And when God gave her the liberty and said, ask what you will, guess what she's going to ask for? She's going to say, you know what? I want to bring forth this seed that's within me. And that seed is the salvation of my two boys. Now, this wasn't a physical birth because she had already birthed them physically years before. This was a spiritual birth.
Yeah.
We know that we have to have free moral agent. We have to make choices. But we also know because of predestination that our choice is contained inside His choice.
Right.
He made a choice for us, and then we come along and we make our choice, and it's all contained in what He's chosen. But did you realize that Sister Hattie's burden and desire overrode the desire of them boys? The desire of the boys was to sit there and snicker and laugh and make fun, but God granted to her because of the burden that was in her. When she gave that forth, God said, I give to you your boys, and their snickering, laughing, making fun attitude was overridden by God, and Mommy's choice took place. Mommy's choice took over. And what I want to show you is there that God's got a kingdom that's being birthed spiritually. It's not a bunch of physical this and physical that. That's not what it is all. It's spiritual birth, and the rules to spiritual birth, though they follow natural, they give things and they do things a little bit different than what we think. That actually actually Sister Hattie had a right somehow in the economy of God that she could birth that thing, and God attributed that to them boys over there rather than them boys saying, oh, well, I want to get right with God. They didn't say that, not until something happened. You see what I'm saying? Because in the economy of God, she had that there, and she came to that birthing point, and God granted to bring forth, and she brought forth what was in there. And when she spoke that right thing, the seed of life, she spoke that attribute. Right? She spoke it, and God brought it to pass with them boys. And so now you see why I went back a while ago and I said, you know, it's a spiritual birth different. A spiritual birth comes by spoken word and by believing. And I imagine that that's what happened with them boys. They probably, when they heard what happened there in the environment, God moved upon them and they believed it. All of a sudden there was a change in heart and they believed what they heard. Because that's the way we get there. And they were birthed by spoken word. But now, who spoke it? Well, obviously it was God's word. But it was spoken over the lips of mom. And so you see how important that is. So in her great moment, to bring forth, she brought forth life for her two boys. What did she bring forth? She brought forth something that will never be reversed. Right? That salvation for them two boys never changed. Never, it'd be, Brother Ram said, them two little boys and teenagers after that, and here they are sitting in the church doing foot washing and communion with all the grown-ups. Why? Because there was a birth that took place. Out of the desire of Sister Hattie's life, heart, those boys were birthed into the kingdom of heaven. Now, done a shift again here just for a moment, because I want to show you that in the speaking, sending forth the word of life that can provide salvation and provide for others, that in the speaking, when speaking goes forth, it places offspring right where they belong in the kingdom of heaven. And so we find out in the scriptures that Brother Graham talked about it to a great deal, that a name, you know, a life has a name, right? You know, you say the name of a person and you automatically think about who they were and what they did, where they lived and how you knew them. But it's just a name that attaches to them. It's kind of like the church here with the IRS. We're a number. That number is just, that's what they see. But behind that number is who we are and the fact we have services every week and we are at a certain location. You understand what I'm saying? And so, a life has a name to it. And anytime there's a change of life, there's a change of name. Right? Anytime there's a change of life, there's a change of name. Kind of think about it. When a woman marries a man, there's her name change. Why? Because she's now going to live a different life.
Right.
Now her life is going to be about him, you know, joined with him and about that household rather than her own individual. And so, in God's economy, anytime there's a change of life, there's a change of name because of that. Because if a person's living a certain way and there's a name to that, and then all of a sudden something happens and now they're living differently, there's got to be a different name to that or else there'd be confusion. How could the IRS say, well, here's this name and it means this particular church, and they go to that name next time and it's actually another church? You see what I'm saying? It don't make sense. So there's got to be a name change when there's a life change. So God come along to Abraham and changed Abraham's name. Come to Sarah, change Sarah's name. So you see that. Jacob got a name change. Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver. He wrestled with God. He had an experience of birth pains. He wrestled with God in his hour of distress, and he got down to business with God. And this is one thing I want to show you. Is when it comes down to for birth pains, it's not fake, false, just, you know, has the appearance of being what it is. It's the real, genuine thing.
Amen.
And God said, in the day that you seek me with all your heart,
right,
that's the day you'll find me.
Amen.
It's So it's not some just some little something or whatever, but Jacob got down to business because he was facing his brother Esau, and he knew that he's probably going to die, and he knew, hey, you know what? I've got to get a hold of God. Right. And so he laid hold of him with the angel. He wrestled with him all night, and so the angel renamed him. The angel smote him so that he had a limp, and so he said, well, you know, your name will be Israel, which is Prince with God. Okay? And so, you'll see that Jacob was totally different after that. First of all, in the natural, you could see his walk was different. I think God kind of has a sense of humor. He could have just been a real humble man that didn't try to deceive people no more. That could have been changed, but God said, I'm going to show this a little physically. I'm going to show it because down here in 2013, I want the phrase walking differently, walking a different walk, a different life. I want that to tie back. And so he smote Jacob in the thigh, and he had a limp after that. So he was not. And if he did want to run away, he couldn't. So you see, God held him right there to that meeting with his brother Esau, so he couldn't get away from it. He couldn't deceive his way around it. Couldn't be a supplanter anymore. But God was with him and took him right through it. And so you see, he got a name change to Israel, meaning Prince with God. The Apostle Paul was Saul to begin with. And when he got a conversion, his name was changed to Paul. So you find that, and it's the same way with every believer. Every believer in the Scriptures, you know, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we're familiar with it. He said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I grant to eat of the hidden manna. I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. And the Bible talks about new names, how it's written, and he has a new name, and all that sort of thing. And so you find out that any time there's a change in life, there's a change of name. So here's what I'm wanting to show you here is. If Sister Hattie's boys had a particular life they were living, mocking, making fun of the gospel. And there was a name. We know that there's a name to that original life, that first life that they had. There's a name to that, and that name is written in the book of life. Not the Lamb's Book of Life, it's written in the Book of Life. Right? And so them boys had a life, and there was a name to that life. But she had a seed within her to bring forth. It was a new life for them. Right? Everybody follow me. She had a new life for them. And the way to bring that was for her to speak in her hour of great travail. And right in that great moment where she could choose all kinds of things, but what she would choose with her sons, she spoke, and she spoke words that brought that to pass. And so in speaking, it doesn't have to be the kind of language like what we're talking about. The Scripture said the Spirit can make intercession with groanings that we can't even utter.
Right.
And we don't even know what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. So you see, in God's economy, we can speak something. I know a brother and sister that was extremely sick for a long time. Their whole household, they were, just down and couldn't rise up, and they were beginning to what's wrong, God? Why is it? And he said he was sitting at the kitchen table, and they were so heavy and so burdened because they're all sick for weeks and weeks and couldn't come out. And all of a sudden he said, I opened my mouth, and he said, something come out. He said, I don't know what it was. And he said, all of a sudden, when that happened, he said, everything just broke and everybody got well. The Holy Spirit burdened, and he spoke the word of life and pronounced life on the situation. And so it's by spoken word. And so Sister Hattie had that burden, which was going to be a new life for her boys. And she spoke something that brought that new life. And God's economy is all about his program, not ours. He's about saving the lost and saving those that need to be saved. And so she spoke those things. And what I want to show you here is that when she spoke something that brought a new life, there'd be a new name to that life.
Amen.
And I don't You know, I don't know. I just have to try and present some of the thoughts that the Lord gives me on this. But if Sister Hattie would have known what that new name was for her boys, knowing that there would be a life that goes with that, and my way of thinking is that if God would have revealed her to her what was going on, she could have spoke that name. But she didn't speak the name. She just spoke the life. I want the salvation of my boys. I want them to be saved, which is a different life than that. And so she, in her great moment, I see that as her birthing time, and she brought forth that spoken word, and God brought it to pass because she spoke it. She had the right thing in her heart. And what I see there is that God is showing us that Brother Branham talked about this in marriage and divorce also. God has a kingdom, and there is a spiritual multiplication. Right? There is a spiritual multiplication, and God, by a spoken word, will speak, and man will be formed. Rather than like it was back in the garden because of a flesh act, a physical birth. But he said, hallelujah, the time will come when God will speak and we'll be formed, man will be formed out of the dust of the earth, and that sort of thing, but it'll be by a spoken word, not by some physical act. It'll be by a spoken word. That's how that this thing will propagate at some point in time to come. And I don't understand all that, so we know that millennium will take care of itself when we get there. And so, if she'd have known that name, she could have spoken that, and that would have caused it. But you see, the life really is what goes out before the name. You've heard the phrase, well, their reputation precedes them. Right? So it's their actions that, you know, the name cannot really, not so to speak, mar the life. I guess it could if you come from a bad family, and that name is already marred, and they say, oh, well, he's a so-and-so. But typically it's the life that mars the name because of the actions. And so what happened when she spoke? She spoke life for her boys. And you see, when she did that, she positionally, by in those words that she spoke in that hour of birth, she placed them boys in their eternal destination. She placed them exactly where they would be to be saved in the kingdom of God. I mean, believe that. Okay? Make sure you're with me on this. Brother Branham said, you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. We have had six parts now. This last Thursday night was part six. And in the book of Ephesians, in that sermon, Brother Branham tells us in Ephesians parallels Joshua. And I'm going to read it to you so you see where it's coming from here. So Ephesus, we talked about that parallel in Joshua. So Ephesus here sets us like Joshua, positionally. He said, you notice Joshua, after crossing over the land and taking the land, he divided the land. Ephraim here, and Manasseh here, and this one over there, and Benjamin, Gad and Benjamin over here. He divided the land. And notice, I said, everybody's with me. Joshua divided the people up into the promised land that was given to them. But Brother Ram says, oh, this just burns our heart. Each one of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those children, she spoke the very place in her labor pains where they would be positionally in the promised land. He's talking about how great of a study it would be. He said, watch. When each of those mothers, when she called out, Ephraim, and I'm just mocking him, when she was in labor, she positionally placed him where his feet would be setting in oil, just exactly every one of them where they are. So Brother Adam is showing here that when those women named the 12 patriarchs, just by speaking the name Ephraim, actually put out an anointing on that life, and it caused that whole genealogy of the descendants of Ephraim, and they were predestined to go and land in a certain place in the promised land, right where they'd be in oil. Right? How did it get there? A prophet says when she spoke it in her birth pains. right there at that tremendous moment, what she spoke, and God honored it. It was prophetic utterance. It was life coming forth. Who had control of the destiny of the offspring? Mama did. When she spoke that right in the hour of her great pain, well, she could say this and she could say that. She could do all kinds of things. But right at that moment, she could speak the right thing. It brings to mind where Brother Rem said, you know, when a woman's going to have a baby, a real sweet spirit comes down upon her. Well, something different happens there. And so you see, a lot goes on right at the time of birth. And so he said, and then, so they placed, she spoke where they be. And he said, then Joshua, not knowing this, but by inspiration, led of the Holy Ghost, after being coming into the promised land, gave each man his promise, exactly what the Holy Spirit promised through the birth back there. Destiny, if we want to know where we're going, go look where we come from.
That's right.
Right? Brother Ram said, this Bible's the only book that'll tell you where you come from, why you're here, and where you're going. Right? And so you find out that it was back in the utterance, back in the time of birth. When did God give us our position in Christ Jesus? Back at the beginning, before the world was. When He spoke, in that speaking, in that utterance of who we of us, He placed us right there. Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, and I want to tie this to us in our individual walk, in our church, he says in the same message, how God has set in the church through labor pains. Oh, they get tremendous sometimes. When a church is groaning under the persecution of the outside world, believing on the Lord Jesus, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is just as real for us as it was Pentecost. How they groan and cry in labor pains. But when they are born, and positionally born in the kingdom of God, then the Holy Ghost has set in the church some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And so Brother Branham is showing here that the church goes through birth pains. They go through struggles and trials. But when that pain gets sufficient enough, there's a birth that takes place. And once that birth takes place, it's said in the church, apostles, prophets. And that's not going to be reversed. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, they're there for that church. God, when that birthing takes place, God establishes something that's forevermore. And so you see what he's saying there. And then he goes on to say, Ephesians parallels Joshua, he said, that's Paul's writing, that's what he taught, his church, the church positionally. He said, before the foundation of the world, when God in his labor pain. Did you know God had labor pains? When God, in His labor pain, was bringing forth you, knowing what you would do, He positionally placed you into His own body to be a housewife, to be a farmer, to be a preacher, to be a prophet, to be this or that. He placed you positionally. And so here we're getting down to the ending of what I'm sharing with you this morning is that the outcome. The outcome of offspring, your outcome, whatever it may be, it's a spiritual thing, a spiritual birth, and it comes by spoken word. And Brother Branham is telling us that way back there when God spoke, He placed us, and it was in that utterance that said, they'll be thus and thus. How many believe that? We know that's called predestination. In His utterance, He gives that, He has passed that when it comes time, He's passing that to His church. He's bringing that down in the midst of His church so that they, but how are they going to bring forth these things? Through birth pains. How's the earth going to come to a millennium? Through birth pains. It'll only come by pain. It'll only come by pain. Sister Hattie's sons could only come after there was sufficient turmoil in her, struggling and agonizing with God because of her sons in their way. When they finally agonized enough, then God dropped down into the situation and said, speak what you will, And she speaks the right thing. And the words that bring that come out of her mouth and brings it to pass. So we're just now, what are we doing? Here's a sermon, Ephesians parallel with Joshua, and this is Brother Branham's whole teaching on sons coming to adoption. Sons coming to the place where they can say, I give to you reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a people who have gone through the cycles of this pain of life and struggling and agonizing with God to bring His Word to pass. They finally reach a place where God drops down on them and says, speak what you will. And when they speak, they're speaking germ of life that actually brings to pass the things that God had to begin with. So once again, we might speak it, but what we speak, you can't just go around saying, I do this and I do that. I'm saying, we have to reach this. We have to reach this place, saints. And it won't be easy. It's going to come by severe groaning and travailing. But we'll reach this place and God will honor it. We'll speak it. It'll be His Word. So what we speak will look like it may be our words, but it'll be contained in His words. Right? You see what I'm saying? And that's exactly the way it works. And so, we see that happen in Hattie Wright's life. She said the right thing. The prophet said she said the right thing. What she said pleased God. It was pleasing to God. I know somebody else that types the bride of Jesus Christ that pleased God. It was Enoch. Yeah. Right? He pleased God too. And so she spoke and gave the eternal destination of, just like God spoke it in that utterance, placed us positionally, right? Just like the church speaks, just like you as an individual. This is Sister Hattie Wright spoke and placed her offspring. Now I know you can't go from this place and just say, okay, I'm just going to speak. But I'm saying if you'll agonize with God over what I'm telling you, if you'll agonize with Him, say, God, there it is in Your Word, and it's in the message, and we see that, and this is something that You, God, You have placed this within me, and it's got to come forth. You let that happen long enough, and God, you get to the right spot, and God will give to you the desire of your heart someday. But it's not going to happen by playing with God. I do believe that we are among the cream of the crop of so-called Christians in the world. I do believe people that sat under this message are well far way out beyond what anybody else is. I do. But even within those ranks, that's where Satan's bullseye is to make Laodicea have its way. It's right in the midst of the ranks and the bride. The rest of them's already eat up with it. But his bullseye is on us to make us fall from the fervency of what we know, the hour that we should be and how we should be fervent before God. That's exactly what He wants to hit and make us draw back where we're just kind of lukewarm and yeah, we go to church and we listen to sermons, but there's no fire. No fire. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Saints, anything that was ever birthed come by pain.
That's right.
Anytime there was like our forefathers that said, give me death or give me liberty. They come to that place where it was down to business with God and said, God, you either come and fill me with the Holy Ghost or a pile of bones is going to be laying right here.
Yeah, right.
We've got to come to that place with Him. And when we do that, you'll find out that God answers. I remember Brother Sidney sitting back there. I remember the testimony he told years ago, and he's told it many times. How about his sister? Her name's Margie, right? Dying. I forget how old she was, a teenager or something like that. And she's dying. Doctors, I guess, they give her up. You forgive me if I don't have all the details right. But just laying there. And Brother Sidney's mother was so burdened for her daughter. You can imagine that. And Brother Sidney was talking about one day, his mother went off out of the house and went down, and I believe it was, went to pray under a tree. With bitter tears. What? She was travailing. She had a promise of God in her heart that said that God's a healer. Yeah. And she went down over the hillside and prayed under a tree And when she come back, she was singing and rejoicing. And that daughter's still laying there in the bed. She come back and rejoicing and come in and started fixing stuff, food and stuff, and was singing and praising God. And somebody said to her, "What's the matter with you?" Marge is laying here, and she said, "I don't know, but God has just healed her." Is she still alive today, brother? She passed away, but probably within the last few years. Because when I heard him tell the story, she was still alive, if I understand correctly. All right? How many years later, brother? 60, 70 years later? See? But what am I saying? She had something, a promise of God, that was burning in her.
Right.
A desire she had mixed with the supernatural promise of God. And that was a birth of a promise. And when she sufficiently agonized with God, God granted to her the birth of that. And when she delivered that under that tree, those words, I don't know what came out of that woman's mouth, but there were words that come out of there, and the supernatural kicked in. Now, I want you to take this and you kick that in. When Brother Bram said, when divine love is projected, right? Sovereign grace takes over. It brings to pass what was projected. Saints, we need to be careful what we say, how we say it,
right,
when we say it. Because God's listening. God is listening to us. He's wanting, He's watching over us, just desirous that under this tutorship of the Holy Ghost, He's waiting for those right words to be spoken.
Amen.
Saying the right thing. When we do, it'll come to pass. So I guess one thing to leave with you today is to tell the saints, don't run from pain. Don't run from the sorrow and heartache. Let that burden your heart till you can't sleep at night. Let it until we finally get to the place where we agonize and travail with God and birth the promise that He's given us. And that's how spiritual births take place. Just like Brother Bam talked about it in the natural, you know, whether it's in a pink hospital room or a pig pen or whatever, it's always a mess. It's not going to be just some little, you know, amen. It won't be, saints. And I know because I'm the least demonstrative person there is as far as preaching. Most preachers are a lot more dynamic than I am as far as what? As the way they present themselves and the fieriness that they have and all that. So I realize that what I'm speaking about, totally outside of my box. Totally outside of my box. But in the day that we get down to business with God and we birth, we travail, God will give us the desire of our heart. And so later on, Joshua takes that word that was spoken. He didn't even know it, but by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, he placed the people in the promised land. And Brother Ram said, and our Joshua today, of course, Joshua means Jehovah's Savior, same thing as Jesus, but he said, Joshua, the great warrior. The great warrior. And that's what we're underneath Joshua today. The great warrior. What? To come and make the enemy surrender what is given to us in the promise of God. So let's get behind Joshua. Let's get behind the Holy Ghost that's here to make that enemy give over that which belongs to us, that's been given to us by God. We got to just rally around Joshua. And so don't run from the pain. Embrace it. Embrace it. I've heard the stories of the saints that were martyred and they embraced the pain of the cross. Why? Because it's through that birthing, that pain, that birth comes forth. And I'll end by saying this. Two things. What you believe is what you're going to speak in the hour of desperation. Right? And I'll say this here. God never wastes pain. He will never waste it. Every ounce of pain that's suffered by anyone in His kingdom, it gets something done in His economy. Let's bow our hearts as the brothers and musicians come. Lord Jesus, what a tremendous time that we live in.
Lord, knowing that Laodicea is so designed just to lull us to sleep so that we don't have the fervency of life that's in us. It should be us, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would be merciful to us this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would somehow, through these things that have been said, somehow through the service this morning, that you would prick every heart, everyone, including mine, Lord. And Lord, may we have a renewed sense of the urgency of the hour, a renewed fervency, Lord, to set aside the things of the world, to set aside all the gadgets and all the time meters that Satan has provided for us, and spend time with you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just anoint us to be more focused. Lord, to pick up our Bible more often and read. Lord, to get back into the tapes if we're not in there. To get in, back into the church age book. Lord, to begin to see once again the truths and the liberty that you have granted to your church in this hour, if we can just believe it. Lord, I pray that you would just bring that kind of focus upon this group. Lord, a unity. God, that we could learn to go to bat for one another the way we should, and we should fight the enemy for one another the way we know we should, Lord. That when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one is pain and sorrow, we pain and sorrow with him, as your word has said, Lord. God, that once again we could have all things in common, Lord, that we share as one great body. Lord, that in that unity, like it was in the upper room, Lord, in the unity of the Spirit in this body, we could rise up and take giant steps across this land to accomplish, Lord, what you have for us to accomplish, whether it be in our own families or in our own communities or on the other side of the world. We ask, God, that you would help us in these things, Lord. We commit our lives to you, God, that you would do these things, and we ask and petition this morning. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I trust this morning, saints, that you'll be more cautious of what you speak. Amen. And realize that I have energy in my body, you have energy in your body, that we could actually command our mouths to speak. We can command our bodies to do things. And we can command them to do things that have no benefit to the kingdom of heaven. Or we could use the same body and same energy to edify, to help the body of Christ, to build the kingdom of heaven. And I pray that you'll go away today with a renewed sense of doing exactly that. Take somebody, put them on your heart, your prayer list this week, and pray for it. Somebody, just whoever God puts in your heart. You got a burden, even the slightest bit of burden for someone, take that person especially before God and see what God does with it. God is able to multiply things the way that they need to be and get things done. And so we thank you for being attentive this morning. We're going to sing a song that Brother Tim's got one picked out before we're dismissed.
We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His love and tell of His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Oh,
Just remember our service next week, Thursday night service at 7:30. Remember our service next week. Remember the voting coming up and getting things situated. Amen. And I'd like at this moment, if anybody has need of prayer, if you'd like to come up, we certainly want to offer that to you right now, Brother Daniel and I. And saints will be willing to pray as we sing again. Just go away with a sense of determination to let God use you. And let's sing again. Yes.
Give the glory.